Good morning, Calvary Church, to those online, those here, not only here, but those are who are watching online as our King's Kids are making their way out of this place. Pray that you have a great time in King's Kids, which I am sure you will. Before getting into my message this morning, I want to jump into an announcement for something right after the first of the year. Just because we know with some of your travel plans, you may be leaving over the Christmas holidays. So I want to get this announcement in. So if you could pull up that first slide. Let you kind of in on something new that we'll be doing periodically throughout the new year and going forward. But one of the fun parts in the past, we used to have a pastor's class that would allow you to start, if you wanted to answer questions about and give you information about Calvary Church. It's a first part of a process if you wanted to get involved in ministries of the church, want to become a member of the church. And so we are relaunching it, but we won't call it pastor's class. We want to call it the Calvary Church Welcome Home class. And one of the, really I feel like the messages God want for this, especially in this initial season, the word that keeps coming back to Pastor Stacy and I, that for a church that's gone through a very tough season and launching, which we're so excited into this next season as your pastors. There is so much that God wants to do. And one of the messages that I would say to so many, and especially some that are watching online, especially those who may have been holding back on returning to coming back here to Calvary Church. My message to you, our message, and I really feel like it's the Lord, come home. Come home. And just come home. You'll find healing. You'll find love. You'll find, that's one of the things that we have just fallen in love with you all in our time here is just God's grace and your character as a church. And so part of that healing, welcome home class. So we want to welcome home a lot of people. So if you wanted just to get more information about Calvary Church, we'll talk about the history of it, which is an amazing legacy of history, and really is, and with only plans to build on top of the shoulders of that and give you some direction of where we're going, but it'll be a great starting point. So if you've wanted to get involved in ministries, want to take another step, in fact, I know there has been several that have been waiting for this moment because they would like to become members. And so join us on Saturday morning, January 6th from 9 to noon, and I will be prompt. We will be done at noon. It'll be an informative morning, and want to try it this direction. We'll offer it different times throughout the next year and ongoing, but this is a great first step, so I encourage you to take advantage of the QR code. You can even sign up this morning and join in. So even if you've been part of Calvary Church for a while, I just feel free to come. It'll be a great way of launching into the next growth that God has for us as a church. And I will promise I will be done at noon. And so now that I have the pulpit, equal time, thanks to Isaac and his creative video, I promise, Abigail and Kip, I will be done by 6:30, all right? I love the humor of our people. I'm serious. That's where, I honestly, that was one of the things that you can get worried about when you make a transition in ministry. Is, Lord, please don't put me in a church that does not have a sense of humor. All right? I mean, because I may come off as Mr. Reserved up here. So if that's your impression of me, which it could be, because if it's just this moment, maybe. But I've got a pretty wild practical joke side of me. And although it's tough to get back at Isaac because he always has the magic of video. And you never know when he's recording because he constantly is recording. So it's a difficult task. But make sure you join us on that January 6th date. And really looking forward the next couple weeks. Please make sure you're inviting your friends. Who are you praying to invite? This is one of the greatest opportunities to invite your friends to come and over the next several weeks. So make sure you invite them to the Saturday performance of the cantata. There's handouts outside, or next Sunday morning. It'll be a special weekend, plus Christmas Eve being on a Sunday. Love it. And you really want to make sure you're here for the Christmas Eve candlelight and communion, because we'll do something a little different. We're incorporating the candlelight into our Christmas Eve service. It's just been a dream to do that along with the communion, and it's going to be an amazing night. You will not. I think it'll be only underscored. If you've valued it as part of your Christmas traditions in the past, you'll want to be a part. So turn with me in your Bibles this morning. Matthew chapter 1 is where we're going to get our starting point. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, and whether you're new in your walk, faith journey, or maybe you've been serving Jesus for a long time, we're going to learn amazing parts of the Christmas story today. And this really is one of the most wonderful times of the year, but it's not because of all the lights. It's not because of all the decorations, but it's because of something that happened 2,000 years ago. And it really is kind of amazing as we get into the season, because all the hoopla that we see, all the sales, all the Christmas specials that are out there, it all goes back to celebrating the birth of a Jewish boy 2,000 years ago. It really is quite something to marvel at. So today, we're going to be looking at different facets of the Christmas story. And today, we're going to be looking at the life of Joseph. And Joseph is kind of an enigma. Some points in Jesus' story, even in Scripture, there's just a few instances that we see about Joseph in the entire life of Jesus. In fact, we don't see Joseph in the latter stages of Jesus' adult life. So many Bible scholars feel he probably passed away at some point during Jesus' life, because he was not there around in the adult time. And yet we do get a little bit of an insight of who he is in the Christmas story and in the first few chapters of Matthew. And so we're going to be looking at his life today. But there's a lot of lessons we can learn from Joseph today. So let me give you a little bit of his background, just so that you can kind of get an understanding of this man. Because there's some parts, all that we could take away from Joseph is he's kind of like on the screen a silhouette in the nativity story. Sometimes you might have a hard time making him out compared to the shepherds. Well, which one's Joseph in this picture? And yet there's so much that we can learn from him today. So a little bit of the background is the fact that in Jewish culture, it was the responsibility and the authority of the dad and the husband to teach his sons a few things. In fact, there was two primary things in Jewish culture that was very important for the father to do, to hand off to your kids. To any of their children, the dad's two main commandments was this: you were to teach your kid a trade. Often points, it was the trade that you were gifted in. But then also to instruct him on the Jewish traditions, on how to worship. So really, it came down to being able to teach and teach their faith. So the trade and their faith. Joseph was often points considered a carpenter, or more terms of in this day would probably be more on the terms of being a masonry, someone that was gifted in masonry work but also incorporated wood. And Joseph had an incredible talent. And in the Jewish culture, a little different than the American culture today, when you look at tradesmen, in today, they don't hold the standing quite as high as in the Jewish culture, that if you were a tradesman, you were well-respected, and often, too, you were sought out as a mediator. Because if you had a gift of a trade when it came to construction, you knew how to solve problems in the midst when you're building things. And so in a community, people would respect the craftsman. So there was an elevated stature that Joseph already had by his trade and by the way he lived his life. He was also responsible for teaching Jesus the Torah, which is in passing on the faith. It's the first five books of the Old Testament. What's fascinating is, think about this. So when we ponder this Christmas story, if you were God and you're sending your son into this world, knowing he's coming in naturally as a baby, who would you entrust to teach your kid? You wouldn't want just anyone. And that's why it's amazing that Joseph was given this incredible honor to be able to teach his son all of what God is and who he is. And in fact, when you can fast forward in Jesus' life, when Jesus was 12, he's in the temple talking with Bible scholars, and he's talking very equally about theology and scripture. Some of that base from Jesus just doesn't turn on one moment. He is fully God, but there's also this moment that all along he's been guided and instructed by Joseph. So Joseph was passionate about following God. He was passionate about studying the Torah and living that relationship out with the Jewish law. And 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 would probably describe Joseph's heart just as it did when Solomon prayed. And I love how the Message version puts this prayer. Here's what I want. Give me a God-listening heart so I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil. See, Joseph was an incredible example of character and of character and heart, and that should speak to a lot of us as Christian believers today, that we would, God, may we have that same type of God-listening heart. God's spoken to us so clearly already this morning. Is that your prayer today? And are you waking up, God, help me to have a God-listening heart, to listen to you? And so when we have that type of a backdrop with Joseph today, let's pick up in the story. So an angel not only visits shepherds, he comes and visits Joseph. And so while we put him into the background of the Christmas story, I believe there's a significant role that Joseph played, and we will uncover that today. So a couple lessons. So Matthew chapter 1, we're going to start to see the first encounter with Joseph. And so there's four things that I want you to capture today, four lessons. The first one is a listening heart obeys even when it doesn't understand. And so we pick up Joseph's story. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant with the power of the Holy Spirit. So take a moment and reread that. Mary's a virgin, and yet becomes pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's crazy. Right? This is stuff that would go on to the Jerry Springer show. All right? I mean, it should. This should be leading all the cable stories, because this virgin just somehow, by the Holy Spirit, becomes pregnant. And so now we can start to capture into what Joseph starts to travel in. Let's read on. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. So when Matthew begins to tell us that Joseph is a righteous man, that doesn't mean that he's just a good guy. It does start to tell us culturally that Joseph demonstrated an incredible devotion to God's law. So he ardently is trying to figure out God's will in this crazy story that's starting to take place. Because Joseph and Mary, in marriages of this day, was often an arranged marriage. So this wouldn't be a Hallmark movie of Joseph and Mary falling in love on a beautiful day in the Middle East and just stepping into marriage. Often points, parents had arranged them to be married, and Joseph's in his later teen years, where Mary is actually in her more of her middle to a little earlier of her youth years. Interesting. So you have this arranged marriage. You know that God is bringing you together, but now Joseph is processing. He knows she's been faithful to him. And so he's trying to figure this out, because he doesn't quite know yet that the Holy Spirit was involved on the other side of this. But here's the great thing that we can see is that Joseph would follow after God's will and honor him in all of his words. And we find some examples of this. Look in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 42. We see how Joseph's character begins to reign through. When we fast forward from the birth couple to when Jesus was 12 years old, we read this. Mary and Joseph go to the temple, verse 41, every year. Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. So in the Jewish culture, there would have been three major festivals that you should go to every year, try to go to. But because of costs involved, many of the Jews, in fact, most of them would never make all three. Passover, though, was one that you really tried to aim for. But even then, for the average Jew, this would be something that you would try to get to at least every couple years. But this was something, again, that I want you to notice is that Joseph wasn't just average. They went every year. Somehow they would make it happen that every year they would be at those be at the Passover. So as they were, because Joseph wanted to honor God's law, he really was wanting to make sure that they were there. So he made a pattern for the family that they all went as they normally would. And so Joseph's trying to process. So when we jump back to the Christmas story, one of the amazing parts is he's trying to process his devotion to God and what's all transpiring around him. Because he finds that his fiance's pregnant. He really believes that she's been faithful to him. She's not been unfaithful. And so he's processing all this. Joseph's wanting to make a righteous decision, not a legalistic decision. Joseph's trying to not do a self-righteous decision. In other words, that would just make him look good. He's also concerned for Mary. In all this, he's trying to put these pieces together. He could have easily, by culture, whether it was Jewish, Roman, Greek culture of the times, he could have easily just divorced her and been done with it. Like they're really, culturally, he didn't have to do much decision making on it. He could have gone to talk to anybody outside and they would be like, oh, divorce her. If he unpacked all of this, they would just be telling her, divorce her. Also, the ramifications, though, is if he did that so publicly, she could be stoned and killed. And so Joseph realizes the dynamics of all of this, and he's trying to make a right decision. So we know he's loving beyond the limitations that he's experiencing, and he's trying to do the right thing. So many of you are like me. We just want to keep doing the right thing in our relationship with God, right? It's why we can learn so much from Joseph, because he's lived the life that we're living. Different experiences, but very much the same part. But we can get back to that he was a righteous man. So get back to our story, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. And it says this in verse 20, as he considered all this, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. So the word considered here is a very weak translation. Because it's just not, he's pondering, rubbing his chin, maybe pulling on his beard. No, it's a little bit more than that. In fact, some translations actually go to the degree that they're saying he's angry. In fact, some translations actually say, as he pondered this, that he's fuming. Why would Joseph be fuming? Because he had dreams. He had expectations as he was entering this marriage that they were going to have kids, just like any of us. Can you think back? For those of you that are married, can you think back to your wedding day? Think back to your engagement time. You can sit there and start picturing the house that you're going to have, maybe what your kids are going to look like. You know, you start thinking of different things, that one day you'll have this cute little adorable dog or cat, depending on which one you are. Maybe some of you are bird lovers, whatever. But we all have this image that started coming to our mind when we're thinking of all these things, right? Joseph's no different. So now as he's processing all of this going on, he's actually shattered. Because now all of his expectations are blown out. So here's a shattered man that is angry because he can feel like, I've been so devoted. I have been an obedient follower. God, why is this happening to me? I could see all that questioning very easily coming out. And that's where all of a sudden an angel steps in. So if you've been frustrated or disheartened by things that life has brought you, just know Joseph's no different in this story. And yet God uses him in an incredible way. Let's look at, as we begin to unpack, as the angel begins to speak to him. So let's read on. So as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and Joseph, son of David, the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child is within her, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet, and this is where Matthew gives us that prophecy. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which is God with us. "When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel commanded and took Mary as his wife, and he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." See, Joseph's life was already wrecked, but the angel showed up. And here's the amazing thing is the angel showing up didn't really fix anything. It didn't change the situation at all, other than it allowed him to look at the story, at his life in a different direction. "Don't be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary as your wife and name that child Jesus. He's going to be the Savior. It's Emmanuel, God with us." See, Joseph makes some really interesting life choices at this point. He moves from considering his plight to conforming to God's will. So it's points when you start hitting the disheartening moment, the life that some points can be shattered into pieces. Just have confidence that God will step into your life and he'll speak to you, much like he is already in this service today, encouraging and urging us to come unto him, to lay our weight upon him and worship him. It's one of the amazing parts that we can see most, that from Joseph in his life, he moves from a place of anger and rage, fuming, to having more grace. It would have been very easy, because here's Joseph, he knows that for the rest of his life, there will be a little bit of talking around his back. Yeah, is Jesus really his son? I don't know. There's always been some questions about that. Joseph was going to deal with all the murmuring at points, but you know what? He wasn't going to let that deter him to be conformed to God's will. Don't let people's voices, don't let people's opinions dictate your faith. Stand strong. Joseph becomes an example to us. And one of the amazing parts was Joseph began to take very seriously his privilege to be a father. And Jesus was treated no differently, but with his devotion to God, to his devotion to God's word, he made sure that Jesus would know God, and just not the law, but the heart behind the law. See, Joseph was not a passive bystander in Jesus' life. He was very involved. He's the man whose reputation was ruined and was wrecked. His rights were rejected. But he responded with courage and faith and thoughtfulness and extreme love that he carried with Mary. He cared for her, cared for the rest of their children and Jesus. It's an amazing character. So Joseph, he had all the chaos handed around him. But one of the great things is that he hung on to. And he had to marvel, how is this baby going to become the Messiah? How is this going to all play out? So even though he didn't understand, here's the amazing part, is he had a listening heart and obeyed in the midst of it. Secondly, we can learn from Joseph is to have a heart that obeys immediately. Flip over a chapter to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. After the wise men leave and were gone, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph yet again. See, one of the amazing parts, Joseph is trying to do this right. God keeps sending an angel to keep him on the right path. God will keep doing that in your life as well. If you genuinely serve him, he will place you in a church that'll help guide you, to help speak into you. And it's just not going to be the pastor. It'll be as you engage in the church life, members sharpening one each other. It's why as iron sharpens irons, it's why we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. One of the greatest things about wanting to become a member of the church, and why you should, when you find a church that you can trust and you can nestle into, you need to be plugged in and not be casual about it because of the strength that you're going to gain from it. And we see in this part with Joseph is he started to take that obedience. When God would speak to him, he would act immediately. So look at it in verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said, get up, flee Egypt with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay there until you return because Herod is going to search and for this child and to kill him. But notice verse 14. That night. So the angel visits him, but at that night, Joseph left Egypt with his child and Mary and his mother. See, Joseph teaches us that a listening heart obeys, but does so immediately. Every moment that Joseph would have waited in deliberating, okay, God, is this really what you want us to do? And see, I can hear myself saying that. In fact, there's parts, as I was processing this message, I'm sitting there thinking back, just even over this last year, and Stacy will laugh at me on this, because there's parts when we were needing to make a decision with another church on whether to let them vote on us, I'm deliberating because I'm truly trying not to miss God's will. I just don't want to make a mistake. So great intentions. But really, we knew it was not the right church. We knew. And yet we're deliberating. And see, mouth, no, that was just you, not me. Yeah, and it's true. She goes, you can go there. I won't be in the truck. She knew. And yet there's parts, and this is my caution to you. There's so many parts, the longer we deliberate when we know God has spoken, we become in a dangerous place. And it's great intentions not to make a mistake, but here's the great thing. No, God will, when we're doing it with an obedient heart, God will even turn mistakes, whatever that could be, whatever big drama we could put in that, oh, if I do this, and we can sit there and start writing a story of how bad it's going to be. Just know God can redeem it all. And don't let that fear drive you, because if we're going to listen and know God's voice, we should not delay. And we need to be able to put as much urgency in that to be obedient as quickly as we can. Because the longer we delay, we'll become more and more unsure of his voice. The more we deliberate, then we're putting in, God, is this really you? You put an uncertainty into hearing God's voice. And then over time, the softer God's voice will be because we have put so many question marks. God, is this really you? And the more we allow God's voice to get softer, the harder for obedience it becomes. So in our new journey, boy, may we learn a lesson from Joseph to obey immediately. Third, a listening heart is constantly in tune with the Lord. Look in Matthew chapter 2, look at verses 19 through 22. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill you and the child are dead. So what did Joseph do? He got up. Joseph got up, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in the dream, he left for the region of Galilee. Interesting part. Just as one difficult season ended, guess what? There's a whole nother problem to be faced. Herod's dead. You can return. But his son's on the throne. One of the interesting parts is I mean, the great news of one part, all of a sudden now you have devastating news. How do you process it? You just obey. And one of the great lessons that we can learn is that, and what we see from the life of Joseph, is that he still had a listening heart that was tuned in to know that I still need to return. So he led his family back into the country, knowing that God would protect him. God has this all planned out. And I believe that's how God speaks to us in many ways. God speaks in the same ways that he doesn't always give us what's going to happen with Herod's son being on the throne. Joseph still obeyed and they went back. And God will often speak to us in that way too. Is often points he doesn't give us all the details when he wants us to be obedient. But guess what? I think he does it because he doesn't want to overwhelm us. But even as we obey, guess what? He wants to develop and mature us. He wants us to have a confidence that we can hear from his word and that he will speak to us. He will guide us. If you pray fervently for God to give you a word and give you direction, guess what he will give you? His word and direction. If you need healing, you can have a confidence that God will speak to you and bring healing into your life. If you're struggling on an emotional side, on a mental side, just know he will bring comfort. He'll bring peace. You need a financial breakthrough, he'll do it. But to have a heart that constantly tuned in to know that God will have you in the midst of the situation. So, and one of the amazing parts, too, is the realization that God wants to fellowship with us. Sometimes the desperate times make us desperate for him. Some points we go through the desperately tough emotional moments, because some points that's the only way is when pressure becomes our best teacher. It's not the most envious moments to have to go through. But just know that God wants to do that, is that he will lead us, he'll speak to us, and he desires fellowship. And some points, pain motivates us to press in deeper to him than what we normally would have done ourselves. He knows us well. Fourth and finally, a listening heart is cultivated in God's presence. The only other times we see of Joseph where we see him, and it's really amazing, the remainder parts where we get to see Joseph is, guess where he's at? God's house. Look in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. 8 days later, when Jesus was circumcised, Joseph and Mary dedicated Jesus to the Lord. And we see it. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And I love how the Message version does the next several verses. In Jerusalem at that time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who had lived with prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. So here's a man that was looking for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit was shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. And as the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. And this is what Simeon said: God, you can now release your servant. Release me into peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see. A God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and the glory for your people, Israel. Wow. And it goes on, Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. All of this setting took place because Joseph led his family into the house of God as he always did. So parents, my encouragement to you, it's why we have King's Kids, why we have Jay High tonight, Rock House on Wednesday, why we have phenomenal, stellar Rangers and Girls Ministries, is to help your kids know God and to know him in an amazing relational way. It's why we have them. But also, it doesn't negate, those are great, but it doesn't replace your example. What your kids see from you as you passionately pursue God, what do they see from you? The lesson we can learn from Joseph, what we can learn from him is powerful for us, But it's cultivated as we ourselves are in God's presence. And this leads me back to our Christmas message as we're in our Christmas season, as we continue to define and search, pursue the true meaning of Christmas. Are you looking for a revelation this Christmas of who he is and what he came to do? Are you pursuing that to be remembered at Christmas? Because it's what it should be. See, this is what Christmas is all about. It's not the Hallmark movies. It's not the Grinch. And I love the Grinch's dog. He's such a cute one. You put that, tie that rainbow to his head. That, you know, it's, I love him. It's not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Sorry. Guess what? That's not Christmas, but this is. This is what Christmas is all about. That one, the baby in the manger eventually became the man on the cross. That baby will one day die for us. What is Christmas all about? It's this. It's the reason for the Christmas. For this reason is this season is sin. That's what this is all about. God did not want to leave us into a helpless condition of being separated from him in our own sin. And he did not want us to be confined to just these religious laws. He wanted a relationship with us. So the reason for this season is all about our sin. But here's the great promise of what, this is what Christmas is all about, is the purpose for Christmas was Easter. To get rid of that sin. And so as we approach Christmas, it's a reminder that many years later, this baby will be betrayed by his friends and be falsely accused and would be executed by the Roman government. And amazingly, that was part of God's plan all along. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with the God through Christ. See, the result of Christmas is a relationship with God based on forgiveness and freedom, not religion. This is what Christmas is all about. See, because of the cross, nothing condemns us. Because of the resurrection, nothing can contain what God has in his mind to do in us and through us. See, as we celebrate this Christmas season, let's celebrate the real reason of what this Christmas is all about. We're entering a season that God wants us to be reminded there is nothing in the past of you and this church that should condemn you. As we march into a new season, I pray that you will celebrate that there's a resurrection, a new resurrection of God's life that he has for you and for this church. There is a new season of what he wants to do in and through your life personally that he wants to raise up and resurrect in your life. That's what this Christmas is all about. The man on the cross only makes sense when we understand the baby in the manger, God with us. It's an amazing moment. It's an amazing moment that God would take all of his godness and stuff it into a baby. That's where there's an awe-ness to this. And if I could have the worship team come, and I feel like it's this morning, it's our customary Sunday weekend of the month that we do communion. And I couldn't help but just, as we were preparing this message, it just fit so well with one of our responses today would be reflecting on communion and yet being able to do so, not just looking at Easter, but where it all starts at Christmas. See, like Joseph, it doesn't matter how good we are, we all need a revelation of God. We need a revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to come to do. And that's what I pray for you this Christmas, is that you start to get a picture of what God wants to do in and through your life. God wants to reveal something so amazing. And so what we celebrate was started 2,000 years ago. The Prince of Peace was born. And what I've learned is that this peace that he has promised and that he offers doesn't mean an absence of chaos. It does mean his presence in the midst of it, though. We have a God that's with us through it all. And I believe, like Joseph, we can exchange whatever anger we experience for grace, that we can respond with courage so that we can respond and walk in peace. We can love beyond limits and logic. We can respond and learn lessons from the life of Joseph. So would you stand with me this morning? And let's just thank the Lord for who he is. Father, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your son to become flesh. Lord, we thank you that you took on skin and you became one of us to redeem us, to represent us. God, I can't even begin to think or imagine facing this season without that reality. God, I pray that you will bring peace to our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would become with us and draw us to you today. I pray that you would give us a revelation. God, I pray you give us a revelation of who you are and why you sent your son is that relationship for us. God, we're so grateful for you and what you will do. Continue to speak to us in this moment. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question. If you're here today and you do not know that, if you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? God wants you to have a certainty of a relationship with him, and this is what he's offering you today, is a relationship with him. And so if you're here today and you know your relationship with him, if you've had one, are you certain that he's the number one thing in your life? Is he the leader and savior of your life? And if you have any hesitation this morning, he wants you to walk out of here confidently having that hope and that peace in your life. And so if you're here today and you need to rededicate your heart to Christ, or maybe for the very first time you need to invite him in to be your savior and leader of your life, God wants to give you a revelation of that. That when Jesus, many years later, dies on a cross for our penalty of our sin, he did it so that we could have a right standing with God. And he wants you to have a right standing with him. And so if that's your desire today, just to be right standing, I just encourage you, everyone else's head's bowed, but if that's you, would you just look up at me and just lift up your hand, because I want to pray with you. If that's you, is there anyone here today? Anybody online? Is that you? Is there anyone today? Excellent. So for those online, and maybe for those who just a little hesitant to lift up your hand, I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for seeing me. You see me right where I'm at right now. Forgive me of my sin. The things that separate me from you. Come into my life. Be my leader and my savior. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, it's a phenomenal start in your relationship with God. And if I could have those who are prepared to lead us in communion, if I could have our ushers come that will help hand out the elements, if you'd make your way. One of the things that as we go into a time of worship, as we respond to this communion part, I encourage you to just like ponder on that revelation of who Jesus is and what he ended up doing for you. And it's just an amazing aspect of what God wants to do. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love for us. And God, we just in tune, just turn our hearts to you, and we invite you into this place in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the blood.
Take out your piece of bread. And for those watching online, I hope you grabbed a cracker or some juice and will partake with us online. But as you hold that piece of bread, as we look at scripture in Luke 22 and verse 19, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is my body. We remember a baby who who would go on and live a sinless life. He lived perfectly and offered up his life for our sins. And yet also this bread is a reminder that we're a piece of a much bigger loaf. It's two parts. We remember Jesus' life, but also an adoption into relationship with God, an adoption that puts us into God's family. We're a piece of a bigger loaf. So his body is a remembrance of adoption, relationship, and perfection. He's a God that restores. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your body. Thank you for offering it to us, for living a life perfectly, to be an atonement for our sins. And so, Lord, as we look at this bread, we thank you for it. We thank you for your love in your life. We remember and we marvel. It all started in the life in a body of a baby. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. And after the supper, he took another cup of wine and says, "This is my cup," which is a new covenant of God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. In other words, we remember Jesus' words, "This is my blood." In the juice of communion, we participate with each other, in essence, that our God lives and he saves us. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's how we found salvation, that our sins are gone and white as snow. Heavenly Father, we remember this day, your blood. You signed an agreement with us. What we do not deserve is what we received. Such grace. And Father, as we partake of this cup, we remember and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. If I could have our anointers come, we're going to just go back into a time of worship and just reflection. And we know many of you will have busy days and you'll need to go. But take a moment just to reflect on the life that Joseph showed us today. He's a God who's speaking to us today, but it takes a listening heart. So before you go, will you take a few moments to enter into worship? And if I could have our anointers line up across the front, if you want agreement and prayer. Before you go, let's agree together for healing, any needs that you might have. See, that was all confirmed by Jesus' blood that we just celebrated. That there is hope, there is healing, there's a restoring path. Don't be quick to run to your week, but be guided this week. And I pray this blessing over you as we go into our time of worship. May the Lord bless you and protect you. Lord, may you smile on us and be gracious to us. Lord, may you show us your favor and give us your peace, to the praise of your glory, to the building of your church, to the growth of our life. We give it to you, and we continue on in worship for what you've done, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.